The following audio is from Redeemer Anglican Church in Richmond, Virginia. More information about Redeemer is available online at redeemerrva.org.
This reading is from John 13. It says, "Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments and, taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with a towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, 'Lord, do you wash my feet?' Jesus answered him, 'What I am doing you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand.' Peter said to him, 'You shall never wash my feet.' Jesus answered him, 'If I do not wash you, you have no share with me.' Simon Peter said to him, 'Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head.' And Jesus said to him, 'The one who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not every one of you.' For he knew who was to betray him. That was why he said, 'Not all of you are clean.' When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, 'Do you understand what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you.'" Pray with me. Lord, I pray you would open our hearts to be transformed, for our lives to be transformed by your word. It's your name we pray. Amen. Be seated. Well, good evening. If we haven't had a chance to meet yet, I'm David. I'm a pastor here at Redeemer, as well as serving primarily as the college minister over at VCU. Tonight, we're going to imagine two scenes together from the life of Jesus. Our first is from Matthew 5, where we find Jesus standing on a mountainside. His disciples are there, and a crowd has gathered around him. As a compassionate and loving king, he looks out over his kingdom and he sees the quiet suffering amongst the people. He sees corruption and injustice at play, and he sees that there's beauty, but that it's hidden so often by shadows. Seeing the decay and darkness brought on by evil, we can imagine him thinking, "This world needs salt. This world needs light." Salt used not only to add flavor, but to heal, to purify, and preserve. The world itself, Jesus knows, needs salt. And light exposes darkness and illuminates goodness and beauty. The world itself needs light. So he begins teaching, and the people lean in to hear what he has to say and addressing his disciples. And if you're a Christian, you can imagine him speaking directly to you here. He says, "You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Through you," he says, "I will purify the world from corruption. I will prevent decay. I will penetrate and transform the darkness. Through your lives and the world will see and taste the goodness of God." What Jesus is saying is that it's through his followers and by his Spirit that the work of the kingdom of God advances. This is quite the calling. As we hear this, we'd be right to ask, what does this look like? What does it look like to be salt, to be light? Well, Jesus, while much more than an example, he does very clearly and intentionally offer his life as a model for us. And so as we ask what the life of a disciple is to look like in the world, we'd be right to look at the life of Jesus, and tonight particularly at the example that he sets on the night before his crucifixion. So let's fast forward together to our second scene and picture this. Just days removed from the crowds who gathered on Palm Sunday, on the night before he faces the cross, Scripture tells us that he knew what was coming. Jesus gathers some of his closest friends together for one last meal. During supper, in these last moments with his disciples, he does something that no one expects. The Son of God, the rightful ruler, the master and Lord of all creation, rises from the table, removes his outer garments, and as a servant, kneels before them. He looks into the eye of each disciple individually. He speaks their name, and he humbly washes the dirt and the mud off their feet. Imagine yourself in this moment, the one that you call master, bending before you, speaking your name, looking into your eyes and washing your feet. Friends, in this moment, Jesus is not only teaching us how to love each other, how to be salt and light, which we'll go into in a second, but he's showing us and washing the disciples' feet, washing their smelly, dirty feet, that there's nothing in our lives, nothing in our lives that's too messy, too rotten, or too dirty for the healing, purifying hands of our Master, King, and Lord. He's unafraid of our mess, whatever it is. And he himself is able and willing to purify and transform even the regions of our hearts and lives that we fear are too far gone to the decay and darkness of sin. This is good news. After this tender moment with each disciple, Jesus returns to his seat and he says very clearly, there's no getting around this as a Christian. There's no getting around this. He says, "Do for each other as I have done for you." This is the command. Love each other as I have loved you. And he says in verse 35, he says that the world will know that you are my disciples. This is how you are to be salt and light. This makes me think of the second chapter of Paul's letter to the Philippians, where he writes about the unmatched humility of Jesus, the one who in his incarnation descended from his rightful place at the throne of God to walk this very earth, and not only to walk, but then to kneel as servant, ultimately giving up all his very rights, his dignity, to lie down on the cross. He exhorts the church to follow this example, and he says that if you do this, you will shine as lights in the world. So as we finish tonight, I want to share how I have been and how I'll continue to be praying for you all as we seek to live in light of Jesus' example and command. I'm praying that we would be a church who embody Maundy Thursday throughout the year, that we would be people who truly believe that Jesus can and will cleanse and transform even those regions of our hearts and lives that we are most ashamed of. I'm praying that we would willingly, following our master, lay aside our pride and dignity to highlight the dignity of others, that we would quietly seek to serve others, particularly the most vulnerable in our society, not for credit or for our own glory, but because of Jesus. And I pray and I firmly believe that as we as a church go out and do this, that we would meet him and that we would know him in new ways as we follow this example. I believe that this is the salt and the light that through Jesus will purify and transform neighborhoods, cities, and our world. So pray with me. Lord Jesus, on this night, you demonstrated your love for us and the washing of feet. I pray that we, your church here, would believe in and receive this love, and that we would courageously extend that same love to our neighbors. It's in your holy name we pray. Amen.